So please welcome Glenn.
Oh, he shortened it for me. How nice. Kind of a short guy. Anyways, so this story I'm going to tell, I don't tell ever, because the last time I told this story, this woman was always bugging me. Tell me your story. I want to know your story. Tell me your story. So I told her this story, and she left me. She broke up with me. So this is a story that I don't tell very often because most people think I'm nuts. So anyway, so when I was in first grade, we lived up in the projects in San Francisco, and my best friend was named Perkin, and he was a little black child, and he lived on the opposite side of the street, and I lived on the other side of the street with the white people and Chinese, and, you know, it was segregated. I don't know why. At that point, I couldn't figure out why, but we were best friends, and it's funny because at the school at the top of the hill, all races were involved, and we all played together in harmony, and there was no problem whatsoever. But when we went home, I couldn't go to his neighborhood, and he couldn't come to mine. But that's beside the point. Perkin and I loved to just stay on the playground as long as we could. When that bell rang, we were the last ones off the playground. So one day, we were doing our little trip for recess, and Perkin was in front of me, and I was following him into the classroom. Well, I had this funny feeling, and so I just turned around, and I looked out onto the playground, and I saw a little girl with a blue dress, and I stared at her. She had brown hair, and so she waved at me, and so I waved back, and I thought, that's strange. What's she doing out on the playground? Everyone else has already gone in the class, and I turned around to Perkin, and his eyes were this big, and he was looking at me, and he said, who are you waving at? And I said, the little girl on the playground with the blue dress, do you see her? And I turned around and she was gone. Anyway, every day I went to school, I looked for that little girl because I saw her. I knew I saw her. I told my dad about it. My dad just says, okay, you're getting like your mother besides that, you know. So I never did see her again. However, my dad was stationed in Hawaii at, Pearl Harbor. So we moved and we were living in a little flat, you know, and it was like Navy housing. So the school we went to, I was a class cut up. I always got in trouble. My teacher absolutely hated me. I felt so sorry for that woman because I was always doing something really funny. So one day I was out on the playground, I was climbing on the monkey bars, and as usual, I was always the last person to come in from recess. So the bell rang, and I was the last person, and everybody else ran in, so I was in a hurry to get down, and I fell. And I fell on the last bar, and I heard something go snap. And so I got up, and I felt okay. It seemed all right. So I ran into the classroom. It felt kind of weird on my back, but I just thought everything was fine. And so I sat down on my seat. And so it came lunchtime. The bell rang. Everyone got up to leave except for me because my legs wouldn't move. And so I'm sitting there in my seat, and my teacher looks at me. She says, Glenn, get up. I said, I can't move. And she said, get up. And I said, I can't move my legs. And so she says, I think it was third grade. She says, Glenn, I'm not putting up with your shenanigans. I don't want to deal with your monkey shines. Get out of the seat. And I said, I can't move. And so she grabbed me by the arm, and she pulled me out of the seat onto the floor. And so she's dragging me around the floor. She says, get up right now. Get up, or I'm calling the principal. And I said, you know, stop dragging me around the floor. Call the principal. I can't move my legs. And so the principal came over, and he looked at me. I love this guy. He's a big Samoan man. He always had a smile on his face. He greeted all the kids at school. I love this guy. And so he came over, and he looked at me on the floor. And he says, Glenn, can you get up? And I said, no, I can't move my legs. He said, okay. He told my teacher, go get the nurse. The nurse we hated because she was another big Samoan woman. And boy, she was mean as heck. You better not be lying because she could read your mind, I swear. We were all afraid of that nurse. And when he said, go get the nurse, I was just like, oh my God, fear stricken. Never mind that I couldn't walk. I was afraid of the nurse. So in she comes. She walks over to me. She looks at me on the floor. She says, can you get up? I said, I told everybody I can't get up. And she says, okay. So she knelt down And she put her back to me like this, and she reached down and she pinched my leg. And she said, "Can you feel that?" I said, "Feel what?" So she did it again. She pinched a little bit harder. And she said, "Can you feel that?" And I said, "No, I can't feel it." And so she got up and she looked at the principal and my teacher and she says, "You idiots, call the hospital, have them come get him. This kid's broken his back." So I thought, I broke my back? What does that mean? I didn't know what that meant. All I knew was my legs weren't moving. So they came and got the ambulance. The ambulance was actually a station wagon and they shoved you into it and off we went to the hospital. So they did this thing called traction. I didn't know what that was. They thought I was paralyzed. They thought I was a paraplegic. They didn't think that, you know, there was any hope. So they just stuck me in this bed. They didn't have intensive care at that hospital. So I was in this bed, and Paige, my next door neighbor who I love, she was like my second mother, came over and spent the day with me and talked to me. And the doctor took her out into the hallway. And Paige came back and she had a concerned look on her face. And she said, "Glenn, I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to share this room. They don't have any other children in the hospital." And I said, "Okay, well, what's the big deal? I don't mind sharing." And she said, "Well, it's a little girl." And I said, "Okay, so what?" And Paige got really quiet. She said, "She's dying." And I said, "She's dying?" She said, "Yes, she's burned over 90% of her body, and she's dying." And so within an hour, they're setting up this bed and this big tent-like looking thing. And they close a curtain and they brought this little girl in and they put her in bed and she didn't say anything. I couldn't hear anything, just this weird swishing sound. And the doctors and nurses, and they brought a specialist from another hospital over to look at her. And so I asked Paige, "Well, why are they putting her in my room?" You know, and Paige said, "Because they want her to be with another child, because she's dying." And I said, "Oh, okay." So this went on, and there was this weird, strange, horrible odor, and I couldn't stand it. And the nurse was going to bring me my breakfast, and I said, "I don't want it because I don't know what that is, but it's really bad." So she opened a window for me. And later on in the day, I heard this weird sound, like a grunting sound, and I thought, "What the heck is that?" And Paige came in, and she said, "Oh, she's trying to talk to you." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." And then I heard this sort of breathlessness, and then I heard this,
"Hi, my name is Cynthia.
And I said, "Oh, hi, my name's Glenn." And so she was really straining to talk. They gave her a sedative. She went to sleep. So later on in the day, she came to and we started talking. And it was really hard to understand what she was saying. But she was telling me about her life. She was telling me about her mother, her cat. Her cat was named Tiki. Her pony was named Kippy, and she had a dog, and she started telling me all these stories about her life, and all we did was talk. And it was really strange. I got used to the odor. There was just a weird odor in there, and they did this thing, I don't know what it was, debridement, which took an hour. I don't know what that was, and she would just whimper. And so I asked her afterwards, I said, "Was that painful?" And she said, no, it wasn't painful at all. I don't feel anything. I can't see anything. I can just barely hear. I can barely talk. I can't do anything." So anyway, the doctors decided, okay, we're going to stick this kid in a body cast and send him home. So they went ahead and prepped me, and then I was going out of the room. When I did, she raised her hand and said, "Aloha." And it didn't look like a hand. It was sort of red and weird looking. And I never forget that hand. In fact, I had nightmares in my childhood about her hand, where a giant red balloon would slowly disintegrate until it resembled her hand. And the sad part of this story is I saw the movie The Red Balloon, and the ending of that movie traumatized me. I was in the film's lit class. Never saw her again. I was able to recover from my back injury because for 8 months while in that body cast, I moved my toes. And when I showed them I could move my toes, they put me into this rehabilitation program. Do I have any time left? Oh, I'm done then. Anyways, the rest of the story, I can't give you the rest of the story. I only have 2 minutes. I'll give you some of it. So years later, I was painting a roof for my boss. It was a two-story home. And what happened was he had me tied to the oak tree. And so the guy I was working with, Billy, he was an ex-alcoholic, and I guess he had been in prison for murder, and he was showing me, I was 16 years old, how to paint the roof. And so what happened was they went to the store, and Bob told me, he said, you know, get off the roof. You know, I don't want you to be up there while we're gone. And I said, okay, but I'm hard-headed. So I thought, I just have this little portion to paint. I'll finish that, right? So I finished painting it, and I was climbing back up, and I was pulling on the rope, and the rope slipped. And what happened was I fell off the side of the roof. But the rope caught me. It did its job. But I tied the wrong knot. And so I was sort of hanging like this, and it tightened up around my midsection to the point where I couldn't breathe. And so I'm thinking, well, I'll just wait here. But it began to become painful, and I noticed that my extremities were tingling. And I thought, you know, I got to do something. And I looked down at the ground. It was just very, you know, not very far. And I thought, okay, what I can do is I'll pull up, and I'll loosen the rope, and I'll get it over this arm, and then I'll be able to touch the ground. So I did that. I pulled up, and I loosened the rope, and I got it up to my shoulder, and I let go, and then I pulled the rope over my shoulder, and when I did, I dropped about 6 inches. And when I dropped, I turned sideways, and the rope just strangled me. And so I'm like this. And I could still breathe. It was against my neck, and my arm was pushing in, and I could still breathe. And I thought, I'm okay. I'm okay. I can still breathe. So this is good. I'll be all right. And I kept on looking around for Bob. Nobody was coming. And then I realized I was losing consciousness. And I thought, okay, what does this mean? And I was losing everything, and I thought, I got to pull up. So I pulled up on the rope, but it was real, like, it was impossible to do, and I was trying to loosen the rope, but it wouldn't loosen. And so basically, I was fading out. And what I did was, I was working at a bird aviary. And I began to hear the birds. And I began to hear, look around, and I saw that beautiful oak tree. And I thought, this big, beautiful oak tree that's been here longer than I've been on this earth. And it's killing me. And then I felt really stupid. Because I thought, this is ridiculous. Somebody's going to find me hanging here like this. I don't like this at all. And I slowly passed out. Well, what happened was, when I passed out, I didn't really pass out, which was really weird. I became very peaceful and calm. And as I was going out, everything became gray. And I began to hear voices from the past, my father, my mother, my friends. And then it was like livid color. I began to see all these things and people that I'd known in my past. And it was actually a beautiful, moving experience. And it seemed to go on forever and ever. Because all these people just came into my mind. It was like a flood of information. And so I'm there, and all of a sudden it became gray again. And I thought, this is really weird. Where am I? And then I was hit by this bright light, and everything got brighter. And I thought, am I looking at the sun? And then I thought, oh, my eyes are closed. So when I opened my eyes, it was Waikiki Beach as I remembered it as a child. And it had palms, a beautiful beach, except there were no people there, except for one person. Out on the sand was a little girl dressed in blue, in a blue dress, the same girl I saw on the playground. So I was just staring at her, and she began to walk towards me. And as she got closer, I looked at her, and I thought, I know this little girl. I know her. I know who she is. And she put her arms around me, and as I was hugging her, she whispered in my ear, and she said, I've been waiting for you. And it hit me instantly, and I remembered who she was. It was Cynthia. And I said, Cynthia? And she said, yeah, what's up? And I said, you're not burned. And she said, no, I'm not. Time's up.